Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode of Pit Panther Ransire Sports Rants Podcast is brought to you by The Sports Dream. It's your digital water cooler. We're going to talk about sports and not sports, whatever. Check us out. We're at sportsdrink.org or at Instagram at sportsdrink. That's S-P-R-T-S-D-R-N-K. Check them out, you guys. And, of course, you know, make sure to leave the door open so we can leave the funk out. Welcome into a Pit Panther Rants, our Sports Rants Podcast. Well, I'm Eric, your host. It's been a while. A few weeks, maybe. Not much is happening, really, in August. I mean, we had... Well, Steelers camp started, as we all know. Kenny's a quarterback. And it's funny how early in this training camp, Kenny threw that pick. He wasn't looking good. Now all of a sudden he's starting with the ones, and he's seems like he's coming into his own. And you know, he being that he was the quarterback taking number one, he's got really no really room for air, because you got a lot of people who were upset that Malik Willis didn't get picked till the third round, and there's some people that are saying, well, how did the Steelers pick Kenny Pickett and not Malik Willis? And I think it's more fit. Kenny fits into more what the Steelers are doing, whereas Malik Willis doesn't. And I'm sure Tomlin, being the head coach, wants his offense a certain way, and you know, that's just that. Steelers weren't the only team to pass on Malik Willis. 31 other teams passed on Malik Willis. And they did it twice. And in some instances, they passed on him more than twice. Three times. So let's, you know... But of course, you know how Twitter goes. They're going to punish the Steelers, and they're going to punish Kenny Pickett. It's not Kenny's fault Malik didn't get picked, didn't get picked in the first round. But I saw that Malik Willis on his first drive, one of his first drives as a quarterback, ran for a touchdown. It was a broken play. People are saying, well, Kenny Pickett could never do something like that. Of course he can. He doesn't have the legs that Malik Willis has. And anyways, whatever. I just hope Kenny works out, because otherwise we're going to hear about it. For a lot of reasons. But the Steelers quarterback situation, it seems like it's a lot more healthier than it was last year. Last year you had Ben Roethlisberger, who was pretty much at the end of his career, and let's be honest, Ben was kind of washed at that point. And he was basically our best chance to win football games. We had Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins. Rest in peace, Dwayne. Mason had his opportunities, I mean, but according to him, he didn't want to step on the toes of Ben Roethlisberger. Which kind of made me a little bit confused, because so you tied a Sheed Detroit team because you didn't want to hurt Ben Roethlisberger's feelings? I mean, this NFL, pros is a cutthroat game. I mean, you can't go through life being nice. You got to go out and take what's yours. Mason didn't, and that's why he's now third string, probably behind Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett. You know, Haskins and Rudolph at best were going to be backups. Haskins was a former first-round pick, and it just didn't work out for him. And at that point, it just he was going to be a backup. Anyway. But you have Kenny and Mitch. Mitch is still young. He's a former first-round pick. So we have that going for us. He's got some wheels on him. Which is what we need with a bad offensive line. That's pretty much what we need. So, you know, you can't go wrong with that. At all. As according to Madden, Mitch Trubisky's a bridge QB. He's the QB that eventually is going to, you know, turn everything over to the rookie. Although, man 23, I just decided just to not do that. I changed the depth chart so Kenny is the starting quarterback and not Mitch. I think Mitch was a 69 overall rating in Madden 23. And Kenny was a 68. There are some growing pains with Kenny in Madden, obviously, because he's a rookie. So he'll need time to develop, you know, as I'm using him. I will say that I started playing Madden last year, Madden 22. First time I played it probably since the Mike Vick era, where, you know, it was I had Madden 04, where, you know, Mike Vick was the cheat code. And after that, I was more hooked on NCAA football. I just liked it better. I love recruiting. I love seeing my class played out. And then when I got I got my oldest kid a PS4 for Christmas. He didn't play, and I figured I would just relive my youth a little bit. So I started playing GTA, which, you know, it was fun driving around, stealing cars, and driving around San Andreas just listening to music. A lot of times I was doing that more than anything else. I was just driving and listening to music. I feel like I was just, you know, going for joyrides and without having to go anywhere. But I switched up, and I picked up Madden 22 on, you know, discount because, you know, it was later in the year. I picked up a used version, pre-owned. But I popped it in, and my goal was to play one Super Bowl. When did Super Bowl be done? Well, 20-something years later, I was in the 2054-55 season. Madden retired my coach. I was Mike Tomlin, obviously, and they just retired. They auto retired me because I reached a certain age, which kind of pissed me off because I didn't know what to do with myself after that. But I spent some time from that to the release of Madden 23 to play some more and short my defense. And the weird part is I changed some things up. And the weird thing is, as I'm playing it, I realize the game hasn't really changed much since the 90s. Like, when I played it for the Genesis, I was I always relied on my defensive end, my defensive tackles, the pressure to QB. And then the secondary did the rest, you know, I let the secondary and linebackers do their job. That's pretty much the same thing here with Madden 22 and 23. I was doing the same. I started doing the same thing. I was like, you know what? I always kept dropping my linebackers and I always took control of a linebacker and, you know, the cover receivers. And of course, I realized I was creating more issues for me on defense than anything else. So I was like, let's let the defensive tackles and the defensive ends do the work. And sure enough, how you run the ball, it's a lot of it. I mean, a lot of those principles from the 90s are still there today, and it's kind of weird. The game hasn't changed a whole lot, it seems. But if you love defense, Madden 23 is a lot better. And if you could play, Madden 22 is more geared towards offense. If you could play defense in Madden 22, you could play defense in Madden 23. It's a lot easier. It's hard to play offense because some of the plays do work, but the CPU's got a lot more clever. My kids are back in school, and ho-hum, I guess. I don't know. It's another year. I mean, the best part is my kids are at their actual school they're zoned for, and I get to actually walk them to school in the mornings rather than drive, which is great. And they're growing up. I mean, my oldest kid wants to try different foods now. He wants to try tamales and, which I'm still working on for him. He wants me to buy him tamales at the store, and I just don't want to do that. I mean, the reason for that is I don't want his outlook, his opinion on tamales to be clouded by shitty tamales from a grocery store. If you're going to get tamales, you got to get them homemade. And that's just how it is to it. I mean, I'm sure they're homemade. They may be homemade at the grocery store, but they're just not the same. They're not at all. So, that's all my goals. He did try a Philly cheesesteak this summer, which, you know, in the past I made them for him, but he never, like, got into it. But, he doesn't want peppers and onions on it or mushrooms. Just straight steak, shaved steak and cheese. And I told him, I was like, you know, you really need to try the onions and the peppers and the mushrooms on it, because you can't really appreciate a Philly cheesesteak without those type of things. So I'm kind of disappointed in him, but not so much. I'm glad he's branching out, as he should, at 13. Now, as far as I did pick my kids up at the carpool lane after school, and of course, somebody in a blue Jeep, and I hate to stereotype these people, they cuff an entire lane. Actually, they cuff a whole big row of cars in the carpool lane. It was funny because I got the intersection. I was about to make my right on the carpool lane, you know, and the line began way back, and I had a feeling this guy, the way he was sitting here, I had a feeling he was either gonna cut me off or cut the car behind me off. And he cut the car behind me off, and yeah, it was a big honk. I mean, I guess that's one in every crowd, I don't know. I mean, I'm one of those people where I feel you have to go to the end of the line. That's just out of respect. But I mean, other than that, there wasn't much to other drama at the other than the fact of walking my kids to school and everybody's taking selfies and whatever. And the halls are narrow and, yeah. I want to say, come on, let's get these pictures done so I can get the hell out of here. Now, let's get to some pit talk, because I've been rambling about the Steelers, food, the summer. I hope you guys had a great summer as well. I mean, I had a great time with my kids, and I'm going to miss them, obviously. I mean, they grow up fast. But the the Manti Te'o documentary is out, and I really haven't read it or done anything. I'm sure, you know, people obviously aren't happy with Deadspin and how they ran the article, because Deadspin was in some sort of war with ESPN at the time, and they were trying to, you know, and I'm reading about the Big East, I don't know. Oh, about expansion. I guess, you know, more expansion rumors are running rampant. Oh, well. But, you know, Manti mentioned that this whole thing ruined his career professionally. And I can, you know, people are like, well, he got drafted, and he did. I mean, he had a nice career. But I think, you know, this girlfriend he had, quote-unquote girlfriend, I guess it was his driving force. And what you know, made him get up and do what he did all the time. You know, whether it's playing and training, it was his motivation. So when you find out that a person that you had this whole thing for doesn't exist, it's kind of, it's almost like a breakup in some ways. It's not only was it a breakup, but the person that's breaking up with you didn't even exist in the first place. Kind of sucks. So I can see why that happened. I mean, he just, you know, he lost his drive. And that was that. I mean, let's look at the movie Better Off Dead. I mean, Blaine Myers had a great girlfriend, a great life, and he tries out for the ski patrol or whatever it was. He had, you know, Roy Stallion. He was the guy who was the leader of that whole thing, and Blaine tried out, and I guess he had to meet a certain time. Blaine actually made it, but you know, Roy, being the prick that he was, he waits until waits a few seconds so he can say that Blaine, you know, didn't make the time. And what happens? Beth breaks up with him, goes with the other dude, and Blaine loses his drive. He can't beat the two Asian guys that are speaking like Howard Cosell in a drag race. He had that Camaro he couldn't fix. It was a whole lot of stuff that happened to Blaine, who was played, you know, of course, played by John Cusack. Those Cusack movies in the 80s, they get so overlooked, I feel, at times. Because you had that, you had One Crazy Summer. I mean, let's not forget 16 Candles, of course. He had a little cameo in Stand By Me. But his run always gets overlooked. And I think mainly because, you know, of all the other, you know, Tom Hanks, all those guys were there, Michael Keaton. There were so many. Eddie Murphy. But, you know, I believe he got into more somewhat, he quickly went into more serious roles, it seems like, really fast. I mean, because he ventured to Eight Men Out. Although I did like High Fidelity as well, with Jack Black. That was a pretty good one. But yeah, he tends to get overlooked. But Better Off Dead and One Crazy Summer, those were two pretty solid comedy flicks. But anyways, on topic, he loses his drive, but eventually, Blaine gets a girlfriend, that French girl. He beats Roy at the K-12, and the Camaro's fixed. All is good, and I'm sure Manti eventually redeemed, you know, got some redemption. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done, you know, this whole documentary. You know, there's a tweet of some guy from, I guess, The Fan. I guess he's a West Virginia alum. I guess he's going to get his backyard brawl tickets at wearing a WVU uniform. And I mean, good for you. I mean, if you're gonna wear clothes to go pick up tickets, you know, that's awesome. Nobody cares. But now, as far as Pitt goes, you know, Pat Narduzzi had his little comedy hour where, you know, Pat's kind of like the mouth of the South, except for he's in the North. He likes to run his mouth, you know, to say the least. He, you know, talked about the Big Ten, about how Pitt would have won it, and they would have beat MSU if they have Kenny. Of course they would have. They would have beat Michigan State if they would have had Nick Patty, if he doesn't get hurt. And I guess that infuriated the Michigan State people, infuriated the local media as well, because, well, the thing is Pat knows his audience. He knows his audience is basically the Big Ten loving, you know, media because, you know, they love Penn State, they love the Big Ten. So he knew when he said these things, he knew who exactly he was going to piss off. Because that's just how Pat is. Pat loves to run his mouth on those type of things. But, I mean, one thing I don't agree with is his constant bashing of his old employees. He took some shots at Mark Whipple. Mark wasn't perfect, I understand. Took shots at Brendan Marion. But the thing is, if you keep running your mouth about, you know, guys who worked for you, it's going to make it hard to hire more people because they're seeing how you talk about these people. I mean, it makes them wonder, well, how is he going to talk about me? Just some food for thought. And this season coming up is a more important one than last year. Because this is a chance to show, is this Pitt thing last year a continuation? Or was last year just a one-hit wonder? I mean, Pitt was 11-3, but they were capable of winning more games that year. I hate to sound like a freaking spoiled brat, but they should have beaten Western Michigan. They should have beaten Miami. I mean, they could have been in the college football playoff. They should be Michigan State, but you know what? They lost Nick Patty, and they sure as hell weren't going to do it with Davis Bevel. He tried. It just wasn't going to work. They were winning. What can you do? But as a Pitt fan who has seen Pitt, you know, hover between 6-6, 7-5, sometimes 8-4, you're obviously going to be happy with 11-1 season. It was a great year. I mean, not only did we go 11 wins, but we had an ACC championship. Not just the Coastal, just the whole thing, the shebang. We had a Heisman Trophy finalist, and we had a Biletnikoff winner, who then went to USC for whatever reason. Although, you know, part of that could have been NIL. He was going to get paid. I think he also may have had a close relationship with Brennan and Mark Whipple than he did. They did Narduzzi, so it made sense for him to leave. That's another theory I see. And, of course, Kenny as well, which goes to my next thing. We have the quarterback situation. It looks like Keaton Slovis is going to win it. I just hope that the competition was fair and it was an actual competition. Like, we didn't just hand the job to Keaton. Because I don't want that to be. I know you didn't bring Keaton over from Southern Cal just to have him ride the bench, but if you can't do your job and win the starting job, and that's just what's going to happen. I mean, he has two years left out for this. So worst case, he can play next year when Patty's gone. But Pitt is 16th in coaches' polls, 17th in the AP. They have a good defense coming back. They got some decent running backs. They have two decent running backs, it looks like, with a lot of potential. And, you know, they got Gavin Bartholomew. And they got plenty of... they got an arsenal of receivers, and hopefully somebody will take the reins. So... let's hope. I mean, I'm hearing a lot of great things about Kanan Mumfield, Jalen Barton. I just, you know, let's... And of course, we've seen how Frank Sinatra's offense can be. We saw it at Pitt. NBC, obviously. So, let's hope for a better season. It's hopefully not a one-year wonder thing. But we'll talk about that probably later this week. I'll give my predictions. And that's that. All right, guys. Hold a pit. Talk to you later.